morning.
The word for this morning, in my mind, is accomplishments. Today is graduation Sunday. This is, you know, a time a lot of you either have someone in your home who's graduating, or you know someone, or know some students. And with that on the mind, I have, you know, accomplishments. And what does it mean to have an accomplishment? And our word, our world is built on accomplishments. Our society is built on accomplishments. It starts at a very young age. What I've accomplished determines my value. You accomplish something, you get a reward. Accomplishment, reward. It starts really, really early in life. You know, you have a baby who's learning to walk, and it takes, you know, starts taking its first steps, and, you know, it's an accomplishment. And then you have a reward for that. You have mom and dad clapping and yelling and smiling and hooray, and, you know, that's a reward, and it goes on in life. When you go to kindergarten, if you accomplish your coloring sheet, you get a gold star, right? And you accomplish something, you get a reward. You go home. As a kid, you probably had chores, and you accomplish your chore, you make the bed, you do the dishes, you fold the laundry, whatever, and you get a reward. And, you know, maybe that is another gold star, maybe it's a quarter. For me, a lot of times, the line my dad used was, your reward is being a part of this family. So maybe that's all it was. And maybe that was good or bad, I don't know. But you accomplish something, you get a reward. You get a little older, maybe you get a summer job, babysitting, mowing lawns, whatever. You know, you accomplish mowing the lawn, you get paid. You accomplish not killing someone's child in 4 hours, and you get paid. It's accomplishment and reward, and our whole world is built on this, and it keeps on going into our adult life in the workforce. Accomplish this project, get a promotion. Employee of the month is an accomplishment, right? Or maybe your accomplishment is owning your own business and being your own boss. You accomplish something, you get the reward. Or sports, you know, district champions, state champions, MVP. They give trophies out for these accomplishments. You know, you achieve winning the championship, you get a trophy. Most schools have a trophy case to display the accomplishments of their students. I have one sports trophy that I can remember in my life. It is about 5 inches tall, and it was for machine pitch baseball when I was a kid, right? And it's super cool. It's the one that everyone got for not quitting at the end of the year, right? And so I have that at home. I also have, I didn't dig it out to make sure I still have it somewhere, but I did win in 4-H first place for the leather craft at the county fair. So I have a first place trophy somewhere in my things. You accomplish something and you get a reward, and we have accomplishments and trophies and things that we remember. And today is another one of those. You know, graduation is one of those things. You accomplish all the credits you need for high school, you get a diploma. It goes on to, you know, college and your bachelor's degree and your master's degree and doctorate degree for those of us who are gluttons for punishment. And it goes on and on, and we accomplishments, and there's a reward. And sometimes that accomplishment determines our value quite literally, in that, you know, some jobs you go and you might get a pay raise just because you have certain letters behind your name for the same job that someone else would get paid less for because of that accomplishment. But the world looks at these things, and these accomplishments are what define us. This is how we get our value. This is how we get our value and our worth as people. What have I accomplished? What have I accomplished? And that's how it goes. What job did I have? How much money did I make? What kind of recognition did I receive? How much education did I receive? Where did you get that education? Who are your parents? Who's your family? How well connected are you? This is what the world values. And those things aren't bad. But what happens is we get so used to that system, it starts when we're babies, of accomplishments and rewards. We get so used to that system that it becomes the goal of our life to get more accomplishments. I need to get more accomplishments. I need more recognition. And if that's the goal of our life, we're going to miss out on a lot of things that are worthwhile and a lot of things that God has for us. There's this famous, you know, famous quotes on bumper stickers and stuff, or it used to be, of he who dies with the most toys wins, right? And then you hear the one in the back that he who dies with the most toys still dies. But that's the mindset that our world has in it, is I need more, I gotta have more. It gets into, you know, what we own, and we define ourselves by our things. You know, and advertisers spend millions of dollars trying to convince us we need the next big thing, a new car, that new phone, new gadget. And speaking of gadgets, I looked up, because how many, you know, we tend to use words like I need whatever it is, this next thing, you know, and I thought of the iPad. Man, I really need an iPad. The first iPad was released in 2010. Of April 2010, so something that has been barely around for four years, and now how many people in their mind is, I can't live without this, I have to have it. It's an accomplishment, it's something that shows, look what I've achieved. And we always have looking into that next something, making more money, whatever it is, and our confidence and our worth, or lack thereof, come from what I've done and my accomplishments. And we run into some problems with filling our life or our value with what I've accomplished. Because number one, there's always something more to accomplish. You're never done. You can never say, okay, I'm content with who I am and where I am. That's not to say we shouldn't strive for better things in our life, but we can never be content because there's always something better. And then the other thing is, there's always somebody who's more accomplished than you. There will always be, so I have to, man, I don't have as much as that person, I haven't done as much as that person, or even if you make it to the top, it's only going to last a little while. You know, the fastest person on earth is only that fastest person until someone runs a little faster, and the richest person on the earth is only the richest until somebody makes more money. So those accomplishments, even if you make it to the very top and the very best, they run out someday. And it leaves me to wonder if there's a better way to live our life. And the Apostle Paul talks about this idea of basing our life on our accomplishments. And he uses himself as an example. And in the Jewish culture, the Apostle Paul had everything going for him. And that's what he lists. And this is what we read in our reading earlier, but this is Philippians 3, and this is where I'll be most of the day today, and flipping a few other places, but that's my main text is Philippians 3, and he says this in Philippians 3, verse 3 through 6, we put no confidence in human effort, or you could insert the word accomplishments, though I could have confidence in my own effort if anyone could. Indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their efforts, I have more. So he says, you want to talk accomplishments? Let's talk accomplishments. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I'm a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. As for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. He had it all going on. He was from the right family. He had a pure, you know, pure-blooded Hebrew, which in that time, you know, was a good thing. Not everyone had that. Some people had families that had mixed with other countries, other races, and they couldn't say, I have a pure pedigree, and that was important to the Jews. From the time he was a baby, he was raised right. You know, he was circumcised on the eighth day, just like the law commanded. Everything was according to the rules. He became a Pharisee, so, you know, he had the right education. He had the right standing. He was in the social elite. He worked hard to obey the law of Moses. And he was passionate about it, so passionate that when he thought that people were rebelling against the law of Moses, i.e. the Christians, he persecuted them, and he would try to arrest them, and he would arrest them and help trying to bring down the church. He was so passionate. And in fact, when Paul came to know Christ and he went to the church and tried to talk to them, they were afraid to talk to him because they thought it was a trick that he was trying to capture them or have them arrested, because he was so passionate that even when he went and started started following Christ, people didn't believe him because he was so passionately against the church. Which is exactly what an old school Pharisee Hebrew should have done. He had every reason to be confident in himself. He was born right, raised right, and worked hard for what he had. He had accomplished a lot. There were a lot of trophies in Paul's case. A lot of trophies. But Paul is listing these things not because he cares about them, but merely for the sake of argument. Because what he goes on to say, and you've heard this verse and we read it already, is he doesn't find any real value in them anymore. And he says in verse 7, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. I used to think these accomplishments and these trophies in my case were something to be proud of, but now I don't. Not only are they not something to be proud of, they're really worthless. I don't care. They don't matter. All the things he had strived for are worthless. They don't mean anything because of what Christ has done, because of what Christ has accomplished. See, there is an accomplishment that matters in life. All the accomplishments we can come up with, in the end, they don't really mean much. But there is an accomplishment that does matter, and that's what Christ has accomplished for us on the cross. And that's what Paul says here, is that everything is worthless next to what Christ has accomplished on the cross. Here's a few verses that talk about what Christ accomplished. John 6:63. The Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. The very words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. Jesus saying, human effort, trying your best to accomplish lots of things in life, doesn't matter. My words are life. That's what matters. Romans 1:17 says, the good news tells us how God made us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. And the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. It's through faith in Christ's sacrifice. It's through believing what Christ has done for us on the cross and his death and resurrection to make us right with God. Romans 10:4, Christ has already accomplished the purpose for which the law was given. As a result, all who believe in him are made right with God. It's that faith and that believing in what God has already done through Christ. That's the accomplishment that matters. And Paul realized that. He came to know Christ, and once he did, nothing else mattered. The things he had stocked up, the things that he had put so much value in his life, he said, these don't really matter. And his accomplishments were meaningless because of what Christ has done. His trophy case didn't matter. I think of the words to the old rugged cross. I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I'm clinging to what Christ has done for me. So much so that the things that I've accomplished and my trophies, I just have to let them go. And they don't mean much. At the foot of a cross, our accomplishments don't matter. All that matters is the grace and forgiveness offered by Christ. And while the world determines value based on my accomplishments, the world determines my value based on what I have done, God determines my value based on what Christ has done. What I have done and what Christ has done. And you might do some great things. I might do some great things in my life. I might look back and say, wow, I had some really big accomplishments. And the world might even say, that person was top-notch. They did a lot of good things. But Christ is going to look at, God is going to look at, what did Christ do in your life? Where did you allow God to be a part of your life? Where did you allow God to work in your life? What did you do for Christ? That's what matters. It's not about what I can do or accomplish. It's about what Christ has already accomplished on the cross. This is what Jesus said in Matthew 16:25. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you'll save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? We can gain everything and not know Christ and not know who he is, and we lose our soul, and in the process, we lose everything. we tend to make our accomplishments pretty important. And when we step back and take a look and say, what is God doing in my life? What is God accomplishing in my life? Sometimes there's an imbalance in our life. I think a lot of times there is, where we get really focused on what we're trying to accomplish. And what we're trying to accomplish might be really good things. But we get to a point where we ignore what God is trying to accomplish in us. Let's read on in Philippians 3, starting at verse 7. This is Paul continuing talking about his accomplishments. I once thought these things were valuable, but I now consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with him depends on faith. Everything in Paul's life he considers garbage, comparing it to knowing Christ. If he could trade it all away to know Jesus, he would, and he did. The Apostle Paul did not live a comfortable life after he became a Christian. He was beaten. He was ran out of town. He was arrested, put in jail. He was hungry and cold. He did not have a easy life. He gave up comfort. And his accomplishments, he could have lived a comfortable life the rest of his life. But he didn't want that anymore. He gave up comfort and he gave up the easy road so that he could know Christ. And those accomplishments didn't mean anything. And I think on a day of accomplishments like graduation, when we, lots of us are looking at people we know, or maybe, I find myself thinking back to my high school and college graduation. It's a time to sit and think, what do we do with accomplishments? Because there's nothing wrong with accomplishments. In fact, they're good. It's good to graduate from high school. It's good to graduate from college. It's good to get married. It's good to have kids. These are things that can be very good in our life. They in and of themselves are not bad things. But there's something wrong when we make those things the center of our focus and our attention. When those things become everything to us, and that we live our whole life just to get more accomplishments. When we should be focusing all of our life and energy on following Christ, wherever that would lead us. And our value and our self-worth come from what Christ has already accomplished. And living our lives to please ourselves and leave a list of accomplishments will do just that. At the end of our life, you'll have a list of things you did. And probably not much else. Those trophy cases in schools across this country are filled with trophies, filled with names that probably most people don't remember. State championships, school records, and all that's left behind is a name etched on a piece of brass, tucked away in some corner that most people aren't going to remember after a few years. And that's all we leave to the future if we pursue accomplishments as the highest goal in our life. A name written down somewhere next to what we did. A life lived in the pursuit of accomplishments is worthless. It will leave you empty, and then you will leave it empty. We don't take anything with us when we die. At the end of our life, when we look back, we don't get to take our toys with us. So the question is, at the end of our life, what will we say we've lived our life for? At the end of my life, I hope that I can look back and say, like Paul did, I fought the good fight, I finished the race, and I've remained faithful. I did what God called me to do. I didn't do what was easy. I didn't do what was convenient. I did what God called me to do. And if I accomplish something along the way, then that glory goes to God. That wasn't my goal. That wasn't why I did it. I did it because it was what God asked me to do. That's a life worth living. And that's a life that people will remember. That's a life that will have eternal significance. Invest our lives in things that will matter for eternity, in people, in loving others, in following where God would lead me. That's what I want at the end of my life. I don't want to look back at the end of my life and say, look at all the things I've done. I want to look back and say, look at all the things that God has done in my life through me. God uses us to accomplish his glory and his fame and his furthering his kingdom. Those are accomplishments worth having. And as Paul wraps up this idea, he says this, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. A sign of someone who is truly following God is that they're humble about their accomplishments, just like Paul is here. I haven't achieved all these things. I'm not perfect. I haven't arrived. But I'm pressing on. I'm looking forward to what God has for me and what God is calling me to. I forget the past and I look forward to what lies ahead. And he says that I forget the past. What's behind me doesn't matter. Now I think there are things we forget in our past that if we're going to follow God, we have to let him go. We have to let go of our failures and say, I've tried this before. I've tried to accomplish this serving of God and I can't do it. I've failed too many times. We have to let that go. We have to forget those things and say, I'm going to follow God. But there's some things in our past I think that we don't forget. That we need to take with us. Paul, was trained in the Bible. He didn't forget his training in the Bible, his education. That enabled him to go and argue the truth of Christ. That enabled him to go and prove through the scriptures who Jesus really was. He didn't forget that and leave it behind. There are things in our lives that are worth taking with us. And today, we have our seniors graduating. We also have Laura Watson, who has been teaching our high school Sunday school class for 15 plus years, is stepping down and saying she's going to be done now, and she's been doing that for a long time, very faithfully, and we thank for it. If you see her today, she's usually in second service, but if you see her, just tell her thank you for that, and tell her that you appreciate all she's done. I sent out a Facebook message to some former students, some young adults who have come up through our church and come up through Laura's teaching, and I asked, what do you take away from those years in high school, Sunday school? Because here's an example of what do we take with us? And I have just a few quotes. And I wrote, what do you remember of Laura? And so one person wrote, I can't type Laura. The respect I have for Mrs. Watson won't allow me to. And in fact, all the other students who wrote back, or I say students, all the other people who wrote back, said this, no one referred to as Laura. It was Watson or Mrs. Watson. Another thing that they all mentioned was Laura's view of heaven. And when I get to heaven, I hope I can have a huge TV screen and go back and play the, events in the Bible, because I'd love to see how that happened. They had talked about that. But more important are the things and how they took a real sense of the Bible. This is a quote. I remember working our way through the books of the Bible and breaking it down, which is still my favorite way to study. We even went through Song of Solomon, and we all blushed. She showed us that we could understand what the Bible said and figure out how to apply it. Scripture was never a distant thing that I was too young or too uneducated to understand. She never claimed to have all the answers, but she did take the time and effort to seek outside information and respond to the best of her ability. She consistently brought Scripture to the forefront in my life when I was all too happy to set it aside. I appreciated her practical approach of interpreting the stories. She made old Sunday school stories come alive with her unconventional perspective. I was able to read through the Bible 3 times with Mrs. Watson. Most of my biblical overall knowledge comes from her. That is something to take with us. You know, as these students graduate, I'm going to encourage them, take the Bible with you. Take God with you. Don't leave your faith behind. When we forget what's behind and press on towards what is ahead, there are some things that we do take with us. And my hope is that for our graduates specifically, that is, part of that is a faith in Christ. Part of that is knowing that they can learn from the Bible, learning that the Bible isn't just an old book that's irrelevant, but that it's real to their life. We take some things with you, but there are things we forget. Those things that hold us back from following Christ fully, sins, failures, disappointments. If I spend my time looking back at how I failed, I'll never attempt to succeed again. If I spend my time looking back at how I've messed things up, I'll never try to do better the next time, because I'll give up. But God is calling us to strive toward Him. God is calling us to press on. And that's not just for graduates. That's for all of us. And I don't care if you're 18 years old and graduating high school, or if you're 75 years old. We are all called to press on towards that goal. Press on to that perfection that God has called us to. And we don't accomplish that by our efforts. We don't accomplish that by us being a really, really good person. We do it by trusting in what God has already done for us, and then chasing after God, pursuing God. Don't build your life on what you can accomplish. You can only accomplish so much. And in the end, it's not going to really matter. And you won't be satisfied. Instead, let's build our lives on what Christ has already accomplished. Build it on what He has done for us, on the foundation of Christ. And strive for the perfection that Christ has called us to. Don't let your past weigh you down. Strive towards what is ahead. Press on. Reach for Christ. Reach for the perfection that He has placed in front of us. And let's build our lives on the accomplishments of Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for what You've done in Christ. Thank You for the forgiveness, the grace, the atonement that You've accomplished for us through Christ. Help us not to live our lives by what we can do and what we can accomplish and what we can finish. Help us to live our lives based on what You've done for us. God, we want to give You all the glory and praise for what You do in our lives. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.